I want to get your Bibles and go to John's Gospel. I'm going to look at something Jesus told his disciples. They had grown very attached to him in his three-year ministry. This was as he was telling them that he was about ready to die and he was going to rise from the dead. And they couldn't wrap their head around that. They were so endeared to him. They'd never met anybody like him. He was more than a Galilean teacher. He was the Son of God and was bringing in and ushering into the kingdom. And he makes a really powerful statement here, and I want to go right into it, because this subject on Sunday mornings for a while is going to be on the Holy Spirit, his gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. God is a Spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And I kind of want to get an understanding and kind of familiarize ourselves with what God's really calling us to and what he's benefited us with. And Jesus makes this statement. He says in chapter 16, verse 5, he says, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." So here's the scene. I mean, these guys have forsaken their fishermen's nets. Matthew's left his tax profession. All these people have turned to walk with Jesus, and they've been going village to village with him. And now he's saying, "Listen, I'm getting ready to go and die, suffer and die, and I'm going to rise from the dead." And in verse 7, he says, "And I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away." And these are people who feel the very opposite. But he's making this amazing point. He says, "It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." Wow. So here we see Jesus is trying to tell us that a new era is about to begin. The advantage of Jesus dying for our sins is apparent, you know, that we were lost, alienated, and separated, and that he was going to take away our sins. But this is something he's introducing that they didn't know. They're now finding out that they're in for an amazing benefit, that after Jesus dies, rises from the dead, and then ascends, he's going to dispatch the Holy Spirit and, in fact, pour out the Spirit on all flesh, that our sons and our daughters are going to prophesy and old men are going to dream dreams and the kingdom is going to be advanced. In fact, toward the end of his ministry in the book of Luke, he told the disciples, "Listen, go out in all the world and preach the gospel, but don't go until you're clothed with power from on high." So this discloses something of an advantage. And the word advantage here in the Greek means to be better off for. He said, "It's to your advantage that I go. You're going to be better off after I do my thing and after I die for your sins." Of course, that's going to make us better off. We were once not a people, are now the people of God. We were all like sheep gone astray. John's gospel also says that Jesus is the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. And he said, "My sheep know my voice." And in fact, here's what my orientation for Sunday mornings, you guys, is: I want us to become clear about the function and ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand that we're made in God's image and that God is a spirit. So therefore, we are spiritual beings. We are not just the top of the heap of the mammals or of the food chain. We didn't just evolve a little farther than the amphibians. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I want our souls to know that very well. And I want you to understand that you are a spiritual being. You are an eternal being. And that the Bible says that in Romans 8:14, that those who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What that really means is people that are brought into the kingdom, that are born of the Spirit, get activated to have an understanding of God and to know his voice. "My sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow." When we are born into the kingdom and born of the Spirit, get equipped and get endued or clothed with power, and it is advantageous. I mean, an advantage is a beneficial factor or combination of factors, a favorable position. How many of you have ever been upgraded on a plane, on a flight? We travel a lot, so we get these upgrades just automatically because of miles we've flown. What happens is you get a wider seat, and they hang up your coat, and they give you a little food. Isn't that awesome? And I really, actually, the first two, and that's not that big a deal. Wider seat, okay, whatever. coat, cool, thank you. But it's good to have food because back there now that what they're doing on flights is they'll sell you this sort of chicken something wrap. What they do is they get this gigantic sort of doughy kind of thing, like a sleeping bag, and they wrap it. And you got to peel off the layers. You got to pay like $8 for it. And then, so you're sitting back there like this with your coat on in a skinny seat, and you peel this thing, and it's like, where's the beef? You know, you're looking for this thing or the chicken. And it's got the consistency of the paste that we used in elementary school to paste construction paper. So it's nice to get an upgrade. And we appreciate advantage. We appreciate benefit. In fact, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. And really, it's my job as a pastor to itemize what Jesus has done, who he is, and who we are because of him. And what is his great redemptive work? What does the Father require of us? And then to realize that he has poured out his Holy Spirit. And we begin to peel the layers off of this and start to understand this. It reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said, concerning things pertaining to and of the Holy Spirit, I would not have you be ignorant or unaware. God wants us in this era of information for knowledge to increase. He prophesied that it would be so, that we would come into and be a vibrant people, that we would be a people of understanding, that we would be a people that are empowered, that are put at amazing advantage. You can't understand your advantage unless you read the fine print and understand and are informed. He said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So conversely, when we come to know some of these things, it brings us into terms with what's available to us and what these advantages are. And I want to show you that some of the things in just even in the book of John about this wonderful helper who will be poured out upon us for the benefit of what Jesus has come to supply. I want to show you, first and foremost, he is the instigator of the new birth. Number one, he causes a spiritual rebirth. John chapter 3, Nicodemus, this Pharisee, is fascinated by Jesus. He's one of the rulers of the Jews. He says, man, I can tell you're from God because of your miracles. You're from God. How could you have these unless you're from God? And he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus, being a natural man, not understanding the spiritual realm, said, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, look at this, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Let me explain something to you. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Okay, well, now we already know, 53 years ago, I had a birth experience. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. I was 8 pounds something, 21 inches like everybody else. I popped into the world. They pulled me out with forceps, I was told. I had big bumps on my head and so forth. That might explain a few things. But I remember then also, fast forwarding a little bit, I had a new birth experience where I came in contact with the gospel and somebody preached, and how can they believe if they've never heard? When this guy, in the foolishness of sharing, in the testifying, something happened that I could not hear or see, but by the power of now what I realize is the Holy Spirit, he was ushering me toward a new birth. Look, even Jesus, when he came into the world, was conceived by the Holy Spirit. The head of the church was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And in the early beginnings of Genesis, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters and God was speaking forth his word. And it seems that in this dynamic agency of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit has a certain work and does certain things that are unique to his wonderful ministry and his wonderful work. I think it would pay us great benefit to understand the advantage. And we'd see right here squarely, number one, that unless we're born of the Spirit, we won't enter the kingdom of God. There's only one kind of Christian. You must be born again. That's not just evangelical comment. That's not just Jesus movement comment or some sort of buzzword. It is, in fact, a spiritual position that occurs when a man or woman or child repents of their sin, trusts Jesus, and the miracle of the new birth takes place. It's amazing. He comes in, just like he hovered over the waters, just like in a very real sense, like Jesus being born in that unique way, we have a unique birth, a new birth that's distinct from our physical birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He instigates the new birth. Hallelujah. Now, the next one, he's a life giver. We'll continue on with this. He's a life giver. John chapter 6, verse 63. I pray that as you hear this, it rouses your awareness and makes you more sensitive to this wonderful Holy Spirit. It says, it is the Spirit who gives life. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. It's the Spirit who gives life. The Holy Spirit comes into the world and he's a life giver. The Spirit of God is so powerful. The Spirit of God. In fact, the Bible says we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. I want to see everybody that comes into these doors get light on the subject of who he is, of what his power, his advantages are that he gives to us, that he makes available to us, what the amazing ministry of the Holy Spirit is all about. This is going to help us to understand the gifts of the Spirit. It's going to demystify the spiritual life because we're going to actually understand he's the one that gives life. He's the one that gives the empowerment. Earlier I read that we need to live in such a way that go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. God's actually inviting us into the impossible. With man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I'm just commending to you somebody that Jesus said, look, it's good. It's to your advantage that I go. Because if I didn't go, this part won't happen. Jesus was, I think, ecstatic about that. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The joy of knowing people were going to get free from sin and get activated to fellowship with God, and that he would be pleasing the Father by doing that sacrificial work. But also, and maybe in a huge level, part of the joy set before him was watching weak and powerless people receive power, clothed with power from on high. Come on, man. The life-giving, life-imparting power of God. Romans 8:11. Let's look at this. We're going to look at a number of verses. Faith comes by hearing. We're to be a spirit-filled people. We need to understand what that's all about. One of the doctrinal distinctives here at Family Church is we believe in the new birth, born of the Spirit, and then a subsequent experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power. Verse 11 of chapter 8, it says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Not only does he cause a new birth, but he's the imparter of life. He gives life. Everywhere where the Holy Spirit goes in culture, it's brought life. It's brought life to women. It's brought life to kids. It's brought, listen, you could see social change, cultural change, impact from true Christianity that's radicalized the world. Wherever Jesus shows up, wherever the Holy Spirit comes, life comes out of it. Come on, man, this is good. He's the imparter of power. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And let's look at verse 37. You know, we've heard of the Spirit like a dove. We've heard of the Spirit like fire, the tongues of fire distributed on their head in the upper room. You know, we hear this like a rushing mighty wind. He's like a wind. He's like a fire. He's like a dove. And here it talks about living water. It says, in the last day of the feast, Jesus was standing in the crowd of Jerusalem and he's addressing that empty condition of lostness and the need for salvation, but also the need for the Holy Spirit. And he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Now, what was he talking about here? He was talking about the Spirit. He said, but this, he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. He was excited about this. The rivers of living water would come into us, not just as a reservoir to replenish us, but would flow out of us that would give us this amazing potential to impact and carry on this life-changing message. So he is the imparter. He's the instigator of new life, the imparter of life, but he's also the imparter of power. And I've been alluding to this in Acts chapter 1 when he ascended and he's getting ready to leave. And they're asking him about all the end times and everything. It says, it's not for you to know seasons and epochs, but he said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power. Look at that. You shall. One of the advantages is you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and even the remotest part of the earth. How can we impact Kosovo? How can we impact France? How can we impact Asia? How can we impact Africa? How can we believe God to see St. Louis become a praise in the earth? How can we believe to see the gospel spread throughout our families and our neighborhoods and our schools and businesses and in whole regions without this dynamic power of the Spirit? He said, you shall receive power to be my witness. I am a product of a guy who feebly shared the message of Jesus with me at 1 o'clock in the morning in November of 1972, shared it with me by feebly. I'm not belittling him, but thankfully it's not the performance of the believer, it's the power of the Spirit. He did his part to preach, even though it was feebly, he stammered a little bit. We know Moses also stuttered. We know Moses had trouble. We know Gideon actually was a reluctant, insecure person who had low self-esteem issues, and yet God thought he was a valiant warrior. Why? Because it was not by might, it was not by power, it was going to be by the Holy Spirit. Moms, God will help you to be a mom turbocharged with the power of the Holy Spirit. I know for sure that the quality and tone of our marriage has been power assisted by the Holy Spirit. He knows more about things than we do. He's been around a lot longer than we have, and he wants to supernaturally empower us, not just for me to preach right now, not just for the guy in the car to share the gospel with a teenager, but for us in every area of our life. Whatever we do will prosper. We're the planting of the Lord. And when the Holy Spirit comes in on any of our lives and all of our lives, it puts us in high advantage. He causes this new birth. He gives us new life. But he also has rivers of living water flowing out of us. And he said, you will not be left powerless. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I don't think we've scratched the surface of this. In fact, the enemy's tried to reduce Christianity to holding to a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And to get it reduced down into just another ritualized human mechanism that where we just kind of run around and chase our tail and run in a circle. So I'm telling you, there's something coming forth from these verses to show us and indicate to us that it's to our advantage that Jesus has gone. Because one of the central advantages was, of course, that he had paid the penalty for our sins and the price was paid, but also that this amazing Holy Spirit was poured out. A lot of people don't understand this. A lot of people ignore these verses, but it's plain as the nose on your face. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, has brought amazing advantage to the early church. And as we pour through these pages, we would be of men most miserable if it stopped there 2,000 years ago and is now dead, and we're brought back into a dead, hollow, sawdust experience. I'm telling you, he's available today. The Holy Spirit has been poured out on all flesh, and he keeps re-pouring, and he keeps blessing, and he's looking for people that he could use, and he wants to put us at maximum advantage by helping us to understand the mighty work of the Holy Spirit, that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit, that our spirit, our human spirit, is the part of us that got born again, that is made alive, that God, the Holy Spirit, wants to speak to. We know the Master's voice. It's neither spooky nor hokey, nor is it just relegated to an elite few with a special aptitude. Spiritual prodigies that are in the church that are like gurus, like, ooh. God wants to make his voice known to the entire body of Christ. He wants us to understand the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit and actually normalize it where he's supernaturally natural and naturally supernatural. I'm offended by the quackery, crazy weirdness that gets passed off as the Spirit. Spooky weirdness. I don't like it any more than you do. But on the other hand, I don't want to retreat because they're religious weirdos. I want to figure out what God is calling us to do. And I want to conform to that. And I want Christ formed in my heart. And I want to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. And God is pleased when we walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit will help us not to fulfill the desires of the flesh. We all have flesh, and our flesh carcasses have affections and interests and passions that the Bible says we must contend with, we must deal with. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh. So what I'm saying here is we understand how powerful the Holy Spirit is. We understand we are spiritual, we have souls, we live in bodies, that we need to get our minds renewed, that we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. If we stop there and we're just doing that in our own human power, we'll fail. But when we understand someone, the Holy Spirit, who's been sent to us to empower us and to help us, then it makes us understand that this Christian life actually can be lived. All these incredible requirements that God lays out before us that are flat out hard, I'll say impossible in human terms. We can, if we understand rightly the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can actually live this thing in victory. We can actually live this thing authentically. We could be true to the original purpose for which we've been created. We could actually walk with God in a way where it's productive and fruitful for decade after decade. We could stay out of religious ditches. We could stay out of religiosity. And we could not lean on the arm of the flesh. God is not calling us to whip up some sort of thing. Our call is to respond to His Holy Spirit. Be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Be not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. Understanding the Word is alive and that the Holy Spirit is available and that rivers of living water are to pour out of us. Process that. It's to your advantage that I go, Jesus said. Because I'm going to send the helper. I need all the help I can get. What we do with Service International is coming alongside of people that are in struggles and we help them. We just come and offer help. There's nothing like it. You just have help. It's like it produces hope. It just somehow lightens the load. The Holy Spirit calls Himself the helper, the one called alongside to help. I think help is one of the most beautiful words in the English language, don't you? Help. Everybody say help. He's an ever-present help. Listen, you get a hold of the helper and you get so aware of him and you tap into him and learn how to develop that hidden person of the heart where you get strengthened spiritually and you become fully all that God is calling you to be in terms of the outflow of the productive spiritual life. You're going to be more effective than you've ever been in your entire life. You're going to be effective as a dad. You're going to be effective. I've got 4 children with distinct personalities. And I can't generalize. They're so different from each other. They're spread out so far apart. They're no 2 alike. They're distinct. Their gifts are distinct. Their callings are distinct. So I need God. I read some Dobson books, and I tried to figure out a strong-willed child, and they're all strong-willed children. Parenting is not for cowards and all that stuff, but I'm telling you, life is not for cowards. But He has not left us alone. Come on, you guys. Listen, can I talk to you about the advantage? About the Holy Spirit? He calls us into these amazing responsibilities and He says, you know what? Who I call, I'm going to equip. I'm going to give you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He says, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Shape the nations. Go out there. Signs and wonders will follow. Yet, don't go till you're clothed with power from on high. So He tells us to do these amazing things. But He says, oh, by the way, I'm going to help you. Part of my deal that I get jazzed about is you guys being co-laborers with me. I made you for fellowship. God apparently is a sociable being who wants connection. He has amazing people skills. We need to learn to develop God skills. God is just such a great, big, beautiful God who sent His beautiful, wonderful Son, Jesus, who I'm falling in love with every more and more every day. I'm telling you. You start thinking about this. Jesus is wonderful. You could go through years in your Christian life kind of ignoring how great Jesus is or gilding Him in some sort of religious terminology, but He's absolutely wonderful. He's unlike anybody else that's ever been. If the Asian world, if the African world, if the secular humanist world understood who Jesus really was, they would find Him irresistible. And I think it's our call as Christians, as a church, as believers, to get so over in this dynamic Holy Spirit endowment of what He operates in and what He offers and what His advantages are, we get so energized by the Holy Spirit that we become electrified people. We become people that live an inviting life. We actually are living in the rivers of living water. We're overcoming. We're living, outliving, and outlasting the ridiculous oppression and battles and discouragements of life. And we're learning how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And then as we learn it, we don't let it stop there. We understand, wait a minute, man, I'm called into good works. I'm called into a life of obedience, a life of purpose. And God's actually, by His Holy Spirit, willing to empower us. I think about this when I read about this great prophet Ezekiel. Has anybody ever heard of Ezekiel? He stood out over these dry bones, and the Lord asked him a question. Can these dry bones live? And he said, well, you know, Lord. And he said, prophesy over those bones. It's like, who, me? But earlier on, when Ezekiel was called into the ministry in chapter 2, he said, Ezekiel, stand up on your feet. Ezekiel was laying down, and the Holy Spirit filled him, pulled him up on his feet. This is what I'm talking about here with this. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power equipped to fulfill what God's called us to do. Listen, I want to read this to you because I think it's good. Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Set God-sized goals. Pursue God-ordained passions. Go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. I'm going to tell you, that's welcome to where I live. Ever since the day I got saved, ever since the day God called me into the ministry, I knew for sure everything He was telling me to do was way outside the realms of my human capabilities. I've got to have divine intervention. I'm so out there, and you know what? You are too. And I appreciate, listen, I believe in helping ourselves and improvement. I do, and I think there's some wonderful teaching out there. I think that there are some great things to learn about disciplines and things, but I'm telling you, at the end of the day, it's not going to be by might or by human power. It's going to be by His Spirit. Now, that's not a theology of irresponsibility. We've got to work hard. We got to show up. We got to discipline ourselves. All those things. Nothing substitutes for that. So I don't want to be misunderstood here. But I want to tell you, on the other hand, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Come on. Can we talk about the advantage? I mean, this is better than a wide seat and taking your coat and getting a little bit of salad with a little bit of cold chicken on it. This is way, way awesome. Why? He's the eternal comforter. He's the eternal helper. Go to chapter 14, John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 16. I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper. Another helper? That implies that the Father and the Son are helping us. God's interested in helping us. I've been around people that just don't want to help. But I've been around people that have this amazing kind of, hey, how can I help you? How can I help you? Let me help you. They're prone toward it. You know, God is prone toward being an ever-present help. Being a help. Can you hear me? The great, illustrious creator of the universe, He could be smug. He could be austere. He could be rigid and distant if He wanted to, but God is love. And He's decided to create us because He wanted to, not because He needed anything, but we did. So He made us. And then He lets us in on His great, big, beautiful plan. He gives us free moral agency. We blow it big time. He goes, I'm going to give you a Savior. In fact, I'm going to go there. I'm going to die for your sins. What? That's why I love Christianity. Nothing can parallel or substitute for Jesus Christ, who is in fact God in the flesh, who's the unique person of the universe. No human philosophy can touch the sacrifice made by Jesus, because that alone saves us from our sin. Let all these circle games of philosophy and thought have their day. Nothing can substitute for the death, burial, and resurrection of a Savior who died for our sins, who was buried, who rose again on the third day, who fulfilled all the prophecies, who said it is finished, and said, oh, by the way, it's to your advantage that I go, because I'm going to send you a helper. Yeah. He's going to come in, and look, He says, I'm going to ask, and I will send you another helper that He may be with you forever. Yeah. We're going to be in heaven going, now I get it. Hopefully, He's going to say to us, I am really glad you investigated my work on my earthly ministry in the church age while you were alive in the 21st century. I'm glad you coveted earnestly my gifts. I'm glad you tapped into my power because I sure wanted to use you in that life. I wanted rivers of living water to splash out of you to make a meaningful difference in the world. Listen, I was with Charlotte, 91 years old. She's exuding ministry the day before she dies. She's writing me a birthday card. She's praying for us. She's hugging, kissing us. She's telling us things about the Bible. She's all the way to her last breath with her hands up. She had her hands up praying for her daughter who was given her care. Listen, that's heroic to me, and here's why. I was young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's people beg for bread. I watched in that twinkling of that beautiful lady's face that he said he may be with you forever. Oh, man. It wasn't morbid. It wasn't defeated. It wasn't just this painful, agonizing, grim reaper garbage. It was from glory to glory. Since the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he gives life to your mortal body. He goes, hey, I'm the resurrection and the life. He said, even if you die, you live. Deal with that. Take that, devil, father of lies. Take that, death. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? Sting of death is sin. Hey, guess what? Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin. And he didn't leave us vacuous and helpless and empty. He said, you shall receive power from the Holy Spirit. You'll be my witness. And he puts it in these world-shaking nations terms. That means he'll help us with our jobs. That means he'll help us with our neighbors, with our kids, with the fundamentals of life, with our health. And he even says the nations are a drop in the bucket. We better be believing for big things out of this place. We're serving a huge, giant, wonderful, awesome Savior who searches the heart and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, who takes from Jesus and reveals to us. Look at verse 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. A few years ago in church, a guy that finished NBA and retired, I don't remember his name, but he wrote a book about memorizing scripture, and he went from church to church, and went to the church I attended, and he taught about how we could memorize scriptures, and I so much wanted that. I had just come back to the Lord in the 1970s, and I thought, man, I want my mind to be filled with God's word. But as he was teaching this kind of sophisticated technique on how to memorize, I recognized that wasn't my learning style. I felt, oh man, it was a real great mark to shoot for, but it's like, bummer. But then when I found this verse, it helped me. Now, some of you may be amazing. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But I'm going to tell you something that's really cool that is available that's part of our advantage. He said that he, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things, will bring to your remembrance what I said to you. So here's what I found out. If you meditate on the word, it's going to get in your system. In fact, the covenant that God's given us, he said he would write the word in our hearts and in our minds. There's something supernatural that the Holy Spirit wants to. He wants us to understand the word more than we know we need to understand the word. And he does not want us to turn Bible reading into some sort of, I don't do that enough, and religious obligation, and if I got to be a Christian, I got to read the Bible. I don't even like to read. I'd rather watch my iPod or watch TV, or I'd rather eat Doritos and cheese. But the Holy Spirit is going, come on, you guys. You guys that have that cerebral aptitude to memorize, memorize like crazy. But if you don't, just get around the word anyway. Meditate on it day and night. It's spiritual food that will unlock mysteries, that will shine light, that will bring strength to your inner man. You just pour through the Psalms and you figure out how to overcome the rigors of life. You pour through Proverbs, shows you practical steps of wisdom. You look at the Gospels and you see how Jesus walked and his characteristics. The book of Acts on how the church is supposed to be. The epistles on what's been provided for us. You read what Jesus, out of his lips, what he's saying, look, you guys, it's to your advantage that I go, man, I'm sending you my Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. You can see the evidence of it in the Apostle Paul, where he would go into places and the Holy Spirit would tell him to go to Macedonia, and the first European convert, Lydia, would be saved, and then a Philippian jailer family would be saved. Even in the bad circumstances, the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding this guy. He had a guidance system on the inside of him. Ooh, that was the Apostle Paul. No, he said he'd pour out his Spirit on all flesh. The Apostle Paul was commending this to us. He said, all who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It's available by virtue of the new birth. When you're born of the flesh, you come into the world, you're part of the family, you've got the DNA shared by mom and dad, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Whatever country you're from, France, you're French, America, you're American. Certain inalienable rights, so forth, certain human characteristics. But when you're born of the Spirit, it's Spirit. You're alive to God. You have fellowship with God. You're not in religion. You're in a relationship with Him. He pours out His Holy Spirit, and He wants to use you at the shopping mall. He wants to use you at the school. He wants to use you while you're going to church, while you're not in church, while you're doing your creative best, while you're working, while you're in and out of situations, dealing with hardships, enduring through the difficulties of life. God has not spared us reality. He's poured out His Holy Spirit in this great big reality. Early on, my naivety was high. My idealism was high. And all that youthful vigor kind of got dealt with by the realities of life. And instead of becoming bitter and instead of giving up and dismissive, I found that the Holy Spirit is still as abiding, eternally, forever present, ever present help in the time of need. Abundantly available to help in a tight place. Listen, that's why these seniors are my heroes that endure as I see the quality and the tonality of the Holy Spirit on their life. Blesses me, man. I want you to get a hold of this. Listen, I was in Paris, France, walking down the Champs-Élysées, and I was looking at all these sophisticated people with their cool scarves and their Euro hair and their beauty and their sophistication. I was looking at the buildings, all the arches and the towers and the beautiful art and all the culture, and I was feeling the empty depravity and lostness of a life detached and apart from Christ. And then I remembered something here in John chapter 16. It says, "It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you." And here's what He says He'll do. "And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." I'm a product of this verse. This happened to me. Somebody preached, shared the gospel with me. Miracle of miracles, the Holy Spirit, the agent of God that's designed to convict the world of sin, of righteousness and judgment, convinced me of my lostness. I'm convinced that's going to happen to the Parisians and to the post-Christian Europe and to the sophisticated Facebook, MySpace, detached, sort of overly indulged world we're in right now, that there's going to be a move and a return to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. I know that God turns the tide on a culture and on a generation, but I know He wants to do it through the agency of people spiritually aware of the Holy Spirit so that rivers of living water will pour out of us. We're designed to propagate the gospel, and He's given us power to do it. And if you feel like the odd man out, the weakling, listen, when we're weak, then we're strong. You feel like, "Well, I don't sense much of power, God, or anointing in my life." Get rid of everything that would inhibit and hinder the anointing. Wherever the Bible says, talks about sin, all that is an anointing inhibitor. You don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. You don't want to give the devil an opportunity. Keep a humble heart before God. Keep a receptive spirit concerning the things of God. This is something that God has designed you to have an aptitude for. You said, "Pastor Jeff, I've been told you should be concerned if you hear voices." I'm not talking about voices, and I know some dear people who have experienced schizophrenia and the trauma of that. I'm not talking about that. That's a terrible, terrible attack of a person's mind. We don't need to be frightened away because people have thrown big statements out or dismissed things. Listen, we can hear from God. We can hear from God where He'll deliver us from deception, from cultic doctrines of devils, from phonies and manipulators and con people and all that stuff. God, I'm telling you, never, He cannot guide us into error. He is the Spirit of truth and will only lead us into the truth. Aren't you glad? Yeah. That's advantageous because there's a lot of voices, a lot of wackiness out there. It's like we're living in shark-infested minefield of weirdness. This is a fallen world, in case you need me to tell you. It's weird here. But greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And the power of the Holy Spirit is available to us. Come on, church. So, He's going to guide us. Verse 13. "Well, He, the Spirit of truth, comes. He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative. But whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come." God, make these people knowing, sensitive men and women of the Spirit. Aware of who they are as spiritual beings. Help people that have been caught up in ridiculous mind games. Help people, God, that have been bound up in sins of the flesh or sins of the heart. Help people in this place, God, because You know how to deliver the godly from temptation. And you told us and urged us in Matthew 6 to pray that we'd be delivered from temptation. I pray you put a fortification around everybody in this place. People that have grown bored with a Christian life, I pray you'd splash some fresh fuel in their direction and inspire them toward fullness with God. God, people that have given their hearts to Jesus but have not received the mighty baptism of the Holy Spirit, I pray, like the Bible says, that if we ask, we'll receive. I pray they'd get filled radically and amazingly with the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray, God, for others who have been Spirit-filled but have just sort of become blasé, there'd be a stirring of the embers, a kindling afresh of the gifts that are in them. I pray, Father, that you help people to move into a practical awareness of who you are, what your advantages are that you bring to us. Of course, when Jesus was here, it was awesome. But we didn't live during his earthly ministry. But we do live during the earthly ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is advantageous. It's amazing. It's amazing to be alive right now. It is amazing to be alive right now. This is better than the time of David. It's better than the time of Paul. It's better than any time in the history of the world because this is our time. We've been brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. Our days are in his hands and he orders our steps. And as our days are, so shall our strength be. And our strength is not by our human ability, it's by the power of God. So God, right now, we just reach out and receive a stirring of your Holy Spirit, a sensitivity to your voice, a receptivity to hear those subtle details and promptings of your Spirit. Teach us, God, so we can make wise, wise choices, be pleasing and honorable to you. Put us in the track of obedience. Help us to be so sensitive to your voice, God. Help us not to resist. Today, if we hear your voice, we don't want to harden our hearts. We want to become tender and sensitive to your voice. You even took Jonah, and when he was running away from the call, you got him back on track just by a merciful intervention. Intervene for every one of us and help us to stay and get on track and stay on track, God. We're trusting you. Faithful is he who calls us. He'll also bring it to pass. Hallelujah. So I just pray blessing on you.